Let's pray. Father, we come to you. Where else would we go, right? Father, we come to your presence, and thank you, Jesus, that you made the way, that the door is wide open, that we get to snuggle up, sit down, pour in our hearts. And Father, we come and we sit in your presence today, and we say, Lord, you know, lots going on in my life, but I thank you, Father, that today, words of encouragement and direction will be spoken, and I receive them, my heart's open. We just welcome the, awesome, wonderful, amazing Holy Spirit to reveal all the things that you have planned for us and you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. My voice, praise the Lord. Well, hey, thanks for being here. Listen, y'all smarter than a fifth grader? Do you want to be outside on the roof? No, baby. Come where the AC is going on, right? So, praise God. Thanks for being here. We've been doing a collection of teaching through Psalm 23, and we're going to wrap it up today. So, praise the Lord. I want us to do what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. You know, let's stand up and let's read it together. Okay, let's all stand up and read it together. Out loud, something about hearing, that's so good. So I want to count to three. One, two, three, here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You can be seated. That's so good. So good. And, you know, I didn't go over every single verse, every single word, but go online. And it was real interesting to hear the chitter chatter after last week. You know, I like to hear, oh my gosh, we got something. But that part last week where we ended up, you know, would you listen if the Lord spoke to you? And would you listen if you went tap, tap, tap to your life? I heard a lot of people say, oh yeah, Pastor D, he was a captain. So praise God, go online and listen to it. Psalm 23 is actually a song that they would sing, and you know the author is David. And David started out, he started out as a shepherd, eventually he became a king. But before, listen to this, he was a servant, actually to his dad. He was a shepherd out in the field. And you know, I have to say this, y'all gotta start someplace. Y'all start someplace, right? And if your heart is right, and if your heart's like David, he will move you from the fields to be a king. Well, maybe you're not going to be a king, but listen, God will advance you if your heart right. He will advance you, he will move you, all right? That was free, nothing to do with the message, but good, Pastor D, write that down, post it up. Last week we talked about the Lord is our shepherd, he's the good shepherd, Jesus is called the chief shepherd. We were talking about, here's the Lord and his presence, and what is his presence, you know, do in your life? And we said his presence will give us security, his presence will give us comfort, and his presence will sustain us. Again, go online and listen to it. I thought it was good. Preach myself happy. So today, though, we're going to finish the last part of verse 5 and then going to verse 6. So keep your Bibles open to Psalms, all right? I know, and you can raise your hand if you know that God has promises for you. Anybody know that God has promises for you? They're in the Bible. There's promises for you. And I want to show you some of those promises today. Verse 5 and 6, all right? So verse 5, it said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We talked about that last week. Okay, but here's what I want to touch on this week, the second part. You anoint my head with oil. You anoint my head with oil. So if you're taking notes, if you want to know what our good shepherd and his presence in your life does, he's going to anoint you. And you might be at church going, what? What? What are you talking about? Well, let me tell you what he means when he said he'll anoint you with oil. All right, He'll anoint you. There's anointing. And how many of you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? The Bible says you have an anointing in you. You know, some of you are like, well, I don't know about that. No, you know, you have an anointing in you. And you know, there's days I get up here and I'm like, Lord, I do not feel anointed. The Bible says that you have an anointing in you. Everybody say, I have an anointing in me. All right? And you know, when you start understanding the scriptures, especially when you say, I don't feel it. Well, we don't feel things. Or excuse me, you can, but we're not supposed to walk by feelings or our emotions. How many know where those feelings and emotions will take you sometime? Flush. Right? They'll take you down a road. Okay? So we are going to walk by what God's word says that we're anointed. All right. Tell your neighbor, hey, I'm anointed. Tell the other one, I'm really anointed. Yeah. All right. So we're talking about the Lord our shepherd. So we're going to talk a whole lot about sheep. Some days I'm like, wow, one more thing. I'm going to tell you about sheep. But so we have shepherds back in that day. And listen, I told you, I did not grow up with sheep in my backyard. I thought the only critter was a squirrel, a blue jay, and a robin. And I grew up outside of New York City in North Jersey. So I didn't know anything about sheep. Okay? But I learned a few things. I've been studying about sheep. I've watched some YouTubes and I've read some podcasts. I'm like, oh, world's expert on sheep. But let me tell you something that's very unique and you may not know. But back in the day, the shepherd would get their sheep and they would rub oil on their head. They would rub oil on their head. Okay? And they would rub it over their eyes, over their ears. I'll just slather them up. Right? So they rub it all over them, and here's why. Everybody go to second grade. Why? Excuse me, 2-year-old. Forget the second grade. It's too wide. Well, they rubbed it on their head, around their eyes and the ears because bugs, flies, creepy crawlies, all right? And they were just kind of tormenting. And how many of you have been at a picnic and you're like this? Right? So this poor sheep, they're just harassed and tormented. And this is what the shepherd found out. If they did not rub the oil on their head and their eyes and ears, bugs would crawl up their nose, wipe their nose, and lay eggs. I'm so grossed out. I read this like 100 times. I'm like, grossy, how? Okay? And then, as you said, verse 4, then after they laid eggs, those eggs would hatch and they just burrow holes in their brain. Yeah, yikes. Get the oil out, right? Okay. So now they're sheep, and they couldn't go to tap the shepherd. Mr. Shepherd, there's something in my brain. They couldn't do this, right? So they would get these bugs in their brain, and it would just bother them so much that they would start slamming their heads against a rock, against the ground, because there's something going on in their brain. Look at some of you like, yeah, all right? Okay, now I want to take that from a natural thing to something spiritual so that you can pull out of this. The pastor needs to pull out of this, all right? So the attack that the enemy loves to do, your brain, this thing up here, okay? It just loves to attack you in your brain and your thoughts. It's just what it loves to do. Everything that you're currently going on, everything that's just you're thinking about, started like right up here, all right? And listen, guys, this brain, see, let's call it the mind. This mind is a precious gift from God. And that's why all of the word, Jesus says it, epistles, it says, hey, you need to keep this mind focused on Him. Keep this mind focused on the Word of God, right? Anybody read that? You know, Battlefield of the Mind, Joyce Myers, right? She got a hold of this and wrote books about it. So the problem is if your mind is focusing on the things that are hard in your life, the negative things in your life, it's just going to take you down a path that's not a good path, all right? If that's all you're thinking about, and this, you know, what's going on, to make it, that's sort of like, you know, spiritually, you start hitting. Sometimes when we're having this attack, we don't hit our head, but we start hitting people, right, with our words and stuff like that. Not us. Somebody else does that, right? Right? So here we have the shepherd, and he's got his sheep, and he rubs oil all over their heads, okay, and so that the bugs don't go in them, right? All right? But the other thing that happens, you you know, so the bugs stay away, is when they rub this oil all over their head and their eyes, kind of changes their personality. They just get really calm, right? They get really calm. So here's my question. Ready? What do you think the anointing, okay, we're talking spiritual, we're talking not just sheep and oil. What do you think the anointing would do in your life? Like, what do you think it would do to your mind? Right? And you got all this negative stuff going. You got a bad report from doctors. You got this lovely teenager. You've got this boss. You've got this, you know, you've got all this stuff going on. What do you think the anointing would do in your life? Sure would be nice to live with you, right? That's what your spouse is going. Okay. And take, for instance, oh gosh, in March 2020, and you are told the whole world shut down. Right? And because of that thing, this is what happened. I've talked to a lot of professional counselors, and they all said that, they all say that during that, since that time, that they have seen an increase in counseling, 80 to 90%, just like, you know, quadruple of people coming in because their minds just got fried, okay? Overloaded, just, you know, everything from fear and isolation and depression, right? So maybe something was burrowing in your mind, huh? Just maybe, all right? So here's what I was saying. So we got these bugs that are gonna try to get up your nose into your brain, right? Okay? And they're gonna, the sheep, they wanna start hitting, right? They wanna start hitting. But there was another reason why they put the oil all over them is during mating season, sheep would just start banging heads, okay, banging heads. But if they put the oil on them, they didn't, they kind of, it's kind of slid off, right? It wasn't a hard hit when they had their heads all greased up, okay? So it, what they found, okay, ready? As soon as they did that, they sort of calmed down, started, you know, calmed down, weren't hitting each other. So, another question, ready? How much fighting would stop, you can't believe this, I know you're like, that's what you're in church, in churches. They don't fight in churches. Okay, I think you guys have a smile in here. But how much fighting would stop if we would just, you know, keep our head and our mind focused on the Lord, know that we are the anointed one lives inside of me? How much fighting, okay? And you know, it's just bananas to me that there are people are still, not just not church really, you definitely know. People are still fighting about race. They're still fighting about race. And you're like, why are they still fighting about race? Well, because the world doesn't know that Jesus came to this planet and he said, hey, you are to love one another. Everybody say, love one another.
Love yeah. one another.
And then look at the person next to you and say, love my neighbor.
Love my neighbor.
You're right. He says you need to love yourself like you love God. You need to love people regardless, all right? So it doesn't matter your race, color. You know, color, you know, and especially African Americans, they get to wear orange. I don't. That's why I don't really like orange. I would be terrible in it. They get to wear these colors. They're just beautiful. And we go, oh, I hate, and we attack, and we've got fighting going on. It, not in church, of course not, right? I don't know your background. I don't know if your background is to, you've been raised racist, and I actually was. You know, my parents came up, they were born in the 20s and, you know, 50s and stuff like that. And my dad was a pretty racist kind of person. Now, he loved me, but I also went to a high school. I was just telling somebody, my graduating class was almost 700 kids, and we were very diverse. So I hear this at home, but then I was in school, and I was like, wait a minute, these are my friends. What do you, you know? So there's a little confusion going on. But, you know, just because we're racist, because someone looks different than you, somebody dresses different than you, somebody, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I think it's my answer here. But, you know, okay, another one. I'm not lost. I'm on the right path. I know where I'm going. Here, you ever hear somebody say, I'm full-blooded. Like, I'm full-blooded Italian. My parents came off the boat. And then, you know, the new thing is to go get those tests, like 23 and whatever, and, you know, I don't know, these things. I'm sure you go do that, and we'll find out where we are. But they find out, well, I'm only 92% or 80% full-blooded, and I'm like, You know, I'm full-blooded. And then they go like this, well, I don't understand. My parents both came off the boat. Well, the boat was on the coast, and the coast is where the ships come in. The coast ships come in with all different people from all different places, and they start mingling. Ta-da! And you are not 100%. What? Okay, I've heard this one. Praise the Lord. So listen, nobody's 100%. You're 100% pure-blooded.
I do not.
Washed in the blood of Jesus. Woo! Praise the Lord.
Right.
So, listen, guys. This world right now is so destructive, so decisive, whatever that word is. Thank you, right. And it's all about everybody hate everybody. Everybody's going to hate the next person. You just hate and hate and hate. And I said, wait a minute, we are the church. I used to love them. We are Penn State. We should stand up and go, we are the church of the living God, and we are to love people. We do love people, and it doesn't matter what nationality, where they dress, what their skin color is. We love because we have the church, and we are the church. Amen. Praise God. Preach myself happy. Glory, hallelujah. So, it doesn't matter. What matters is if Jesus Christ has come into your life, if Jesus Christ has come into your life, you have a new heart, a heart like his, and it is love, so we are going to love. Amen. So stop fighting. Silly fighting, all right? So the anointing helps our mind and our thinking. The anointing helps us stop fighting. And here's another thing, if you're taking notes because I'm going so fast. The anointing will help you live the life that God planned out for you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. And you know, he starts revealing. I still get revelation of a plan that God has for my life. But listen, and Jeremiah says, God has a what? A good plan for your life, not an evil plan. Amen? So, the anointing will help your thinking. The anointing will help stop fighting. And it'll help you walk the plan of God. So, open up to Luke. Turn over to Luke chapter 4. We're talking about the anointing. Now, Luke chapter 4 is Jesus, and he's going to talk about it. How many listen when Jesus talks? Some of you fall asleep when Pastor D talks, but listen to what Jesus says, right? That's okay. I had one person, and they worked on roofs, and when they hit church, he goes, it's just good not to be in the sun. And he says, I hear everything you say. I said, good. Y'all like Luke chapter 4? This is Jesus. He's talking about the anointing, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Some of you, you're thinking, upon me, Pastor D? I don't think so, okay? Well, again, if you've received Jesus, it's in you, and it also can really come upon you. We'll talk about how more on that, right? So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because of what? Because he's anointed me. What are we talking about? Psalm 23? The anointing on us, right? So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And what's he anointed us with? Not oil, okay? But the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's always talking about, the oil is always talking about the Holy Spirit, okay? So let's keep reading. To preach the good news. This is what the anointing on our life is for. To preach the good news to the poor. To set... He has sent me, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set freedom to the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That last part, really in the Hebrew, doesn't say the Lord's favor. It's called the year of Jubilee. How many of you guys have ever heard of the year of Jubilee? Well, I'm not going to preach on it, but let me tell you a little bit. Year of Jubilee is an old covenant. And every 50 years, the trumpets would go bananas. You know, they'd just be blasting. And that meant everything that was stolen, everything that was taken, everything that was set in bondage and slavery was released. How many would like the year of Jubilee? Woo! All right. Release, right? The year of Jubilee was right. So everything, it was released. Everything was released. And you know, Jesus says, by the way, I am the year of Jubilee. Guys, Jesus came to set us free, take you out of the kingdom of darkness, put you into his kingdom. Take that old life and give you a new life. Take that old heart, give you a new heart. He wants to release you. He has released you, and he'll keep releasing you in whatever So I don't have to wait 50 years, okay? It's now. Praise the Lord. That's who Jesus is, all right? So, praise the Lord. You know, you can have that, or you can just act like the world, talk like the world, fight like the world, or you can start saying, hey, I am a new creature. I have a new life. I have been set free. That old stuff, that old thing in my family, that old way I used to act, I am released. I am new. I am letting Him walk through me. You can say that. Or you can act like the world. Please don't do that, right? So, praise God, I like that. Next, turn over to 1 John 2:20. 1 John 2:20. It's at the end of your Bible. 1 John 2:20. This is the Apostle Paul, John, who's writing this. John walked the earth with Jesus for 3.5 years, and then this is many years later, and he's writing this, and he has lived a good life. Then he's got himself kind of, let's just say he has some experiences in life. So this is the Apostle John, and this is what he says. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Okay, everybody say, I have an anointing. That should be your post-it note this week. I have an anointing, right? I have an anointing, right? So you have an anointing to be and do whatever God's plan is in your life. If God's called you to be a stay-home mom, you are anointed. If God's called you to own a business, you are anointed. Whatever you are in your life, you are anointed. Everybody say, I'm anointed. Okay, so the next part. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, right? And he also said the truth will set you free. So the anointing that's in your life, comes upon your life, will set you free. It'll lead you to the truth. It'll lead you to the truth, all right? Now, jump down to verse 27. We're just going to hop down. Verse 27. This is John. Here he goes. He says, as for you, raise your hand if you're you. He's writing to you, all right? As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains where? In you, all right? So, guys, this was written to Christians. It was written to the church. It was written to the believers. It's written to us, right? And he says, hey, you have an anointing that's within you. And whatever's going on in your life, it will, this anointing within you will help release this what's ever going on in your life, right? So, you get a revelation, hey, the anointed one, the anointing in me, is going to help me release this, okay, that's going on in my life. Praise God, it'll set you free, all right? All right, that kind of wraps up. Let's go to the last part of verse 5. The last part, so we're talking about you have an anointing, okay? The last part says, my cup runs over, my cup runs over, all right? So he's anointed our head with oil, and then he says, my cup runs over. All right, so think about this. My cup runs over. My cup runs over. My cup runs over. You know what that talks to me? At least to me? An abundance. All right, so I'm not doing a Sherry. She, not on the new carpet. She would fill a cup. Okay. All right, not doing this on the new carpet. Wait 10 more years, right? So this is my cup filled. It's my cup filled. But how about if I keep pouring and pouring and pouring and it runs over? Is filled different than running over? Yeah, you're all smarter than a fifth grader, right? Yeah, praise the Lord, all right? So there's a difference. And listen, guys, this is a promise from the Good Shepherd and his and all that he is. He says, I promise that you have an anointing and it will overflow out of your life. Now, it's kind of conditional. I do say this, you know, get in the Word of God. Get into some prayer and the Word of God, and it will not just fill, but it will overflow. And so, oh, I am so anointed. I am so filled. Well, what do you think it's for? What do you think this anointing's for? It's for me, but no. It's when it starts overflowing. It's for other people. How many of you know the world is hurting? I had to go to Walmart the other day. You can see some hurting people, right? Right? Some of us just at your neighbors, right? So listen, the overflow. Why do we have an overflow? So the overflow to other people, to help people. In all sorts of ways, right? So, all right, that kind of wraps up verse 5. Turn over to verse 6. verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. All right? Ooh, all right. So the fifth thing, or what we're from last week, would be we're going to talk about goodness and mercy, but let me talk about this word surely. Surely. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you. Surely means undoubtedly. It means without a doubt. It means unwavering, all right? So no matter what dark valley of the shadow you're going through, no matter what somebody said, what the doctor said, no matter what you see, no matter what he says, surely, undoubtedly, unwaveringly, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Yeah, all right, now, it's available. Surely, goodness and mercy is available. All right, now, so it says, surely, goodness and mercy will follow you. So you used to have my kids, the four little kids. Everybody line up behind mom, follow me. We're going to go over here at the store. Don't touch anything. Just follow me, okay? That's why people follow, right? Anybody have people follow you, okay? But that word follow is the worst translation because in the Hebrew, listen to what it says. It says, actively pursue. I think that's different than follow. No, it says, surely, goodness and mercy will actively pursue you. And listen to the last part. Actively pursue you. I was going to do this, but I've fallen around. And jump on top of you. Yeah. Pursue you where it is just on top of you. Aren't you glad I didn't act that one out? You've already seen me trip over my sandals. Okay. So I will run you down and jump on top of you. That's what God's saying. For you, his goodness and mercy will actively run after you and jump on top of you for whatever you got going in your life. Woo! Alright. Let's talk about this word mercy, okay? I'm gonna read this so I don't muff it up here. The definition for mercy is not being punished for what we deserve. It's undeserved and freely given. I don't know about you, but I need mercy. Several years ago, I was coming down this Market Street on my way to work to YCF, and it's just this beautiful straight road. And I'm just barreling down there, and next thing I know, and I get pulled over. And the young officer says, can I have your license and registration? And then they go to the car, and they come back, and he goes, ma'am, you're too old when you come to me. I don't care how old. So, ma'am, do you know how fast you're going? And I go, I know I've gone too fast. And I said, but I was on my way. On my way to church. And we have prayer time. And we pray for you every week. I wasn't trying. Now listen, you need to come to church on Thursday at 12 noon so you can use this. And he said, well, thank you very much. Here's a warning. Mercy! Hallelujah! Okay? So make sure you're just praying in the car, okay? Mercy. Listen, I deserve it. Yada, 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 yada. Praise the Lord. I don't even know how fast we are. So. Somewhere in Hebrews. Okay, you can Google later. Hebrews, it says, come to the throne of grace where you will find mercy, or obtain mercy and find grace in times of where you need help, where you need help. So there are times that I went to the throne of God, all right? And the throne of God is, you know, talking to the Lord, God, I need some help, all right? So there's two options here. You can take A, B, or C, all the above. Okay, some days I take all the above. So I can come to him when I've got problems going on in my life, when I've got things going on in my life, when I got, I just can't do this anymore. And I go to him and go, Father, I need some help. I need some grace. And what is grace? It's God's favor. It's also his supernatural ability to do what I can't. Right? And then mercy, okay? Mercy is what's undeserved. Like, you didn't do anything to get mercy. And I was crying out for mercy. And by the way, I'm not lost. I'm not upset about it. But anytime I see somebody pulled over, I'm praying for them. Father God, just give them mercy. Do that for them, because you so want to give it back unto you. Really, I do. I just been praying for them. Okay, listen. So he gives us this thing called mercy in our life. And there are times, not bad, just like, man, anybody gets you, your mouth gets you in trouble? And then there's layers of, and I'm going, God, that was so bad. And Lord, forgive me. I'm asking for mercy. And I'm asking for forgiveness. And mercy and forgiveness are both kind of tied together. So mercy. I remember telling my son, he just kept muffing up and muffing up. And we would say, Jesse, pray the mercy prayer. Pray the mercy prayer. And I think he probably wore it out when he was in middle school. I was like, get that. And you come up, Dad, I just need mercy. I was like, oh, you little stinker. Okay, give mercy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so think about this. What would happen if you recognized and realized and thanked God that his mercy and his goodness is following you all through your day? Like, you get up in the morning, go, God, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Because last week or yesterday, and here I am today. Thank you. Thank you. You know, start your days like that. Especially if yesterday was a doozy, or you know what today's looking like, just go, before you get your feet on the ground in the morning, all right? Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy that is running and jumping on top of me for my day and all the things that concern me. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Okay. So, there's a difference between goodness and mercy following, or goodness and mercy pursuing and jumping on you. And aren't you glad that that's what the Lord has for your life? Oh, gosh. Even when we don't deserve it. All right, the last part. Let's go to verse 6, the last part. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay? Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians. I have to look it up. He says, corporately, that's all of us here, and then individually, we are the house of the Lord. Today, corporately, and then just me individually, we are the house of the Lord. So when you leave today and somebody says, I'm leaving the house of the Lord, not really. Okay, this is a building. People meet in buildings all over. But really, we are the house of the Lord. Okay? Individually, corporately. So, but notice it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I want to talk about a couple of things that are just really near and dear to me as pastor. Because we've been doing this YCF thing. It sounds so terrible. 38 years. Wish I could party on the 40. Where's Caleb? She'll organize it. Okay? And then, but listen, I didn't start up here in the pulpit. I started in all different avenues. I think I've been in every department and committee that this building has to offer. I even cut them on. I love cutting them on. You know what? I can't hear you. So anyway, but you know, I kind of know a little bit about church and people, and this is what I've seen. I watch people come into church, because you all brought them, but I watch people come into church and they accept Jesus to be the Lord and Savior, all right? And I watch their lives change, and I watch it kind of domino into their families, and families are changed, all right? And I know what it'll do to you and your family. I've watched it. I'm like, whoa! But, don't ever start the sentence with but, this is what I've seen. I've also watched. I've watched people come in, that they're born, you know, new life, born again. And then they're like, oh my gosh, Pastor Dan, I just love this church. I'm going to serve. I'm going to be active. I'm going to be in this group. I die for this church, Pastor Dan. Okay? But then, a year goes by, 2 years go, whatever. And they come up and they go, oh, Pastor Dan, we are so busy. Oh, busy, go. Oh, Pastor Dan, we are so busy. And kids, oh my gosh, we got football, we got gymnastics, we got soccer. Oh my gosh, we're just gone, we're busy. Pastor, I would just love to serve like I used to. I would just love to come, but I'm busy. Okay. So, some of you are like, I'm here, why are you telling me about this? Well, let me tell you. Okay. Because you know what I've watched the next thing? Okay, I'm going to tell you. So I usually see when that first starts, you know, that's me, we love church. You all sit in the first three rows. And then kind of cool off a little bit. Then you're in the middle row. But y'all sit in the last row, don't sit there. Unless you have a little kid that they try to get or you're serving here. serve the Lord, I'm not talking about vacuuming. I'm like, I serve him in my heart. I serve him like what, just how I love him and stuff like that. That's what happens, all right? So, and they go, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Where? What? How long? It says forever, right? So, what's his story? Long, long time ago, I met this cute boy. God, he's so cute and handsome. His name is Jack. And we were dating for not long. I wouldn't let my kids do this. We didn't take that long ago. We were, things you do, you don't let your kids do. Anyway, so we're dating, and this, we made a commitment to the Lord before we became pastors. And we said this, we are committed to serve the Lord. We are committed to serve the Lord, to serve God's people. We are committed. And it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you take off that back door. We're committed. You know, in the years that I stand here before you, I have watched people of substantial in the Christian community. I've watched people that I went to Bible school with walk away from serving the Lord. I was like, so y'all should get together, not just because Pastor D did, and make up and decide we are going to make a commitment. I remember talking to David Fleming. We had David Fleming in there a couple years ago. I actually taught him as a kid. That's really humbling to see him come back. And he does a lot of premarital counseling and just materials. And he said, I make couples that are about ready to get together and get married and then get together. Some of you would. So I make them write down what is their absolute commitments. What is your absolutes when it comes to the Lord and then your relationship? And he told us, just like Jack and I, we made a commitment. Come hell or high water, we are committed to serve the Lord and to be in church. Now, listen, you can't be in church every Sunday. And the one Sunday I thought I had an excuse, I was said, no, get yourself dressed and come to church. But we have things that happen and we don't care. But, praise the Lord, I'm all over the place. Make a decision, right, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, right? So I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures to back this up. Turn over to Psalm 92, verse 13. Psalm 92 has got some big nuggets. One of these days I'm going to teach on the whole thing, but right now. Psalm 92, it says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord, remember, house of the Lord, okay, will flourish in the courts of our God. So, I don't know, I'm not that smart, but I read this and I go, you, me, planted in the house of the Lord, I'm going to flourish. Now, I like the word flourish, but let me tell you what it means also. To thrive, to increase, to enlarge, to grow, to prosper, to abound, to spread out, to extend, to make steady, to be at a high point in life. Woo! Flourish. That's good. Flourish, all right? So let me again, after me, I'm here, I'm going to hear this. Well, let me tell you why you need to hear this. Because we have an enemy, and the number big, attack is to just disconnect you from the local church, right? Well, I got offended, I'm not coming. Or they, Pastor didn't take my advice. People just, okay? So, turn over Matthew 9. You know, I hate to make promises, but I want to promise you, there's going to come a day where you're going to have the enemy say, hey, you don't need to go. You just need to disconnect. We can do this at home. All right? Okay. Disconnect from church, all right? Matthew 9. This is Jesus, and I love this. This is so Matthew 9:35. It says, Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and church, right? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, something out there, okay? He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. When he looked out over the crowd, his heart broke. So confused and aimless were they, like sheep without a shepherd. The Hebrew word for shepherd is pastor. Like sheep, by the way, we're all sheep, okay, without a pastor, all right? Now, so Jesus is looking at the people, and he's like, man, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And I said this last week, he didn't say they're like, they're sheep without an apostle. He didn't say they're sheep without a prophet. He didn't say they were sheep scattered because they didn't have an itinerant ministry. Those are fivefold ministries. I can say a whole lot, they're amazing. But he did say this, well, they're scattered because they don't have a pastor. Praise the Lord. But Pastor, I'm here. I still feel scattered. Well, first off, that word scattered means more than that. It means scattered, harassed, confused, and weary. And remember those sheep? Remember those sheep that didn't have the oil rubbed on them? Little bugs are up their nose and it's in their brain. Okay? They felt harassed. And then they start getting, okay? Remember that? Well, you might feel a little harassed, or all those other things, because there is a whole difference from an attending church and those that are a part of the church, okay? Okay, and listen, I am in awe. The first 5 years, we start worship, y'all back here, well, we start worship and there's 10 of you here, okay? And then we can turn around and just worship the Lord, you know, however minutes, and I turn around and I'm like, and I want to cry. I was like, man, people came. Amazing. And I remember saying this to Pastor Sam, who pastors a really large church. He said, Dee, every Sunday I'm like that. I said, good, I'm in there crying. Anyway, praise the Lord. There is a difference, and maybe you feel scattered, harassed, weary ones, because you need to be planted. All right? Planted. What does planted look like? Well, planted looks like maybe you serve. Planted means maybe you go to a group. Planted looks like you're maybe on a team. That's what planted looks like. And I taught on this maybe a year ago. Planted roots or potted. So let's just talk about we had this big storm. I had this potted plant sitting on my deck on the railing, and this storm came in. Whoa! My potted plant went to the neighbors, okay? But you know those plants that were rooted? They just kind of live. Next day, they're up there. Okay. So there's a difference. There's a difference, right? There's a difference, all right? So, guys, I want to encourage you to put down roots in your local church. First, you have to pray. Lord, what's the local church for me? Right? And everybody's different, okay? And you have to get quiet from the Lord because of what's going on in your life when he speaks to you. But I was like Pastor Sherry, and I said, oh, it's a good place to come. Put your roots down, all right? So put your roots down, get connected. Sure is quiet. Wow. Turn over one more scripture. Pastor David. One more scripture. Turn over to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. The writer of Hebrews 10 is Paul. Paul started out just having an encounter with Jesus. I mean, the real thing. And then he grew in God, stayed like 14 years. He's just studying the scriptures. And then his life kind of progressed, and he became a pastor, missionary, and an apostle. And this is Paul writing, okay? And he says, and he's writing to churches. He's writing to Christians. Everybody say, he's writing to me. Yeah, and he says this, do not forsake the assembling together as believers for worship and instruction. Okay, so what do we do if we came in here? We have worship. What do we do now? Get some instruction, okay? So it says, do not forsake the assembling together as believers for worship and instruction, as it is a habit of some, but encourage one another. I think the word forsake kind of explains it, okay? That's someone who is saying, we don't need to assemble. Hey, I don't need to go to church, right? And Pastor D, you know, not everybody thinks church is as important as you think. Well, God does, right? We just gave some scriptures. And listen, you can go online, you can go to social media, whatever platform, and you can find somebody wrote a blog, somebody wrote an article, somebody wrote whatever, and you can read the blog and you're like, oh, wow, they wrote why church is not important. Oh my gosh, I now feel like church is not important. Wow, I read the blog. Oh, that was so good. I think I'm going to repost it to you, all of y'all. Okay? Jesus says, I my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us, the church. I will build my church. He's kind of big on church. They're really big on church, all right? Where's my dear sister Gerald has what we would call a parachurch ministry. And so they're not in the four walls, they're out there, and they're serving the community, and we sow into this because it's good. But also, Sister Gerald, she has stayed connected in the local church. And yet she has this outside thing going on, which is beautiful. So don't forget to bring your supplies and thank you, okay? And I said this last week, we've had a couple of guest speakers, and really I've interviewed all of our guest speakers that are, we call them traveling ministers, our itinerant ministries. And when they're not at speaking in someone's church or doing an outreach, you know where they told me they all are? They got a home church. They're connected in home church, and their families are connected in home church. So I think if you know the fivefold ministry is doing it, and Jesus says we need to do it, and Pastor D says so, I think we should, right? So stay connected in the local church, and you know what happens when you stay connected in the local church? God's going to promote you. Yeah. It says your gifts will make a place for you. Now, if you're in it, I just want to be promoted. Okay, wrong fire, wrong spirit. But if you're like, hey, I'm here, Pastor Lee, and I said, I look out here and look at faces, I'm like, they're here because they just want to serve the Lord. They just want to serve the Lord. They're leading and doing and handshaking and pouring coffee and stuff. They just want to serve the Lord. So, you know, I pray for everybody. Just close your eyes for a moment. So, question. Just, you know, what is God speaking to your heart through this message, or just throughout the day? What is God speaking to your heart? Because maybe you're into something you shouldn't. Maybe your heart attitude or your heart motive is not what it should be. And you know what's so easy? When you're like that, you just go, God, I'm so sorry, I heard that. Just help me, right? So just kind of just check out your heart. You know, there are things that are going on in your life. And, you know, been there, done that, and it's so easy just to kind of, just kind of stray from where God wants you to say what God wants you to say, right? So, Holy Spirit, I just thank you to just speak in the hearts. And, you know, I love when someone says to me, Pastor D, I just want to be used by God. I want to have signs, wonders, and miracles. And I just want to just God use me. Well, you know what I always tell you? Just stay planted. Get in the Word. Pray. Okay? And God will, he'll exalt you. And he says, these signs will follow those that believe. So if that's what you believe in, you just keep serving the Lord. And you know, they'll follow. And I really believe that the Lord, Holy Spirit, just wants to just set some people free right now. So just take a moment and just let that surely goodness and mercy just jump on you. Just let them come and jump on you and say, Lord, I know. Oh, gosh, I know. I need your goodness and your mercy in my life. And I thank you for it. And I need your help. Thank you for your help in this situation. It's just been, I've been knocking heads. Shh. And I'm just asking for your help, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for it. Praise God. So, Father, I thank you for everybody here. And thank you for your goodness and your mercy that's just pursuing us. And I thank you that you just speak to us when we're just, a little over here. Just reel us in. We just want to be hunger and thirst and just saturate ourselves with all the grace and mercy you have. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got time to sing. You have a song. They never ask a worship leader, hey, you got a song in your heart? Me, I'm like, oh, no. You got a song in your heart? You tell them. Oh, all right. Well. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you. You have just deposited your goodness, your word, and your word, we let it transform us. We will think upon it. We will be quick to act upon it. And I thank you, Father, we go into a world that needs the light and your love today. And in Jesus' name, amen. all stand and have coffee.